Kevin Woodley from NHL.com and In Goal Magazine. Back to the show, my man. How are you?
I'm doing good. Maybe Cam Talbot can, as Roberto Luongo joked when the Panthers were in town here, maybe he can get Jágr to get him into, you know, an early bird special down there in Florida and save some money on that tab.
Yeah, why not? You got to do that. Give me break down your view on the Cam Talbot signing as a guy who studies the goaltending position.
Well, I see both sides of it. I see where there's some risk there, and I see where the Oilers figure they've educated themselves enough on his game both before they made the deal and getting to know him since that they see it heading in the right direction. And probably more importantly, and a lot of factors that we talked about throughout the course of this year, understand the nature of the blips so far and see them as correctable. And that said, on the flip side of the coin, you know, credit where it's due, the first article I read that pointed this out, and even more credit right after the story broke, was I think Jonathan Willis pointing out that, you know, Talbot's numbers, as impressive as they are in a small sample size in his NHL career, also include having the best, you know, 5-on-4 save percentage in the league over that period of time. And so, you know, on a statistical side, that's one that jumps out at you that you wonder, hey, is that repeatable long term, being the best in the NHL shorthanded, given what we know of fluctuations in shorthanded save percentage? And you know, some would argue that maybe that is cause for concern. And then I look more at the style of game, too. And maybe he's not going to be the top of the NHL. And, yes, there's certainly going to be ups and downs shorthanded. But, you know, as much as analytics people like to look at 5-on-5, I know goalie coaches who see shorthanded as, hey, that's when we need you to make your saves. They judge goaltenders, you know, not necessarily in shorthanded statistics, but they watch a lot of shorthanded film to see, is this guy just filling space or is he making saves? And Talbot's a guy whose game probably doesn't change shorthanded. He plays an inside-out, not an over-aggressive game. And so most goalies have to kind of back up playing down a man. You'll see them play a little more three-quarters depth and always inside the blue ice because they know as teams snap that puck around on the outside, the shorter the distance, the easier it is to beat that pass to the next save location. For Talbot, that's kind of just how he plays the game anyway. So you know, he's got good hands on top of that. So it'll be interesting to see how that shapes up. More to the point of this year, hey, listen, rocky start, and he talked about it with me early this season. I had an article that kind of outlined that conversation at In Goal Mag yesterday. A lot of adjustments, not just him but the team, trying to figure out where everyone should be and learning to trust each other to be there rather than trying to do each other's jobs at times. And it took him a while to settle down into that. And then there was also a period where he was trying a little too hard. Another thing we've talked about, in goaltending, you can't just make things go better by trying harder. You really do have to let the game come to you, and I know that's something he's said a lot lately. It's something he and I have discussed in the past, and you know, something that he had to learn a little bit when he filled in for Lundqvist last year, and I think another totally new situation for him in kind of the evolution towards the number one this year, and it crept up on him a little bit again. So there's going to be learning curves, but I think obviously the Oilers are comfortable where that curve is heading. They like the skill set. And I didn't even talk about head trajectory and the fact that he is getting more comfortable with that and moving into space rather than turning away from space in terms of his save reactions and save movements since having that introduced to him by Dustin Schwartz. So I don't mind the numbers because it's not an outrageous term and it's not an outrageous ticket based on, you know, comparables around the league. I think it ranks 24th. And I really like the upside in terms of they've been through some hiccups, they've been through some ups and downs, but they can kind of see a progression here towards where they think he can be a stabilizing force for them over the next 3 years. And when we look around the league, there are probably a lot of teams that would like that stabilizing force right about now.
Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com joins us. The Oilers take on Florida tonight. Luongo's been great. Bishop tomorrow, who's been very good. Then they got Nashville coming in their final home game before the break. Pekka-Rinne is struggling mightily, Kevin. A lot of people wonder, well, he hasn't been the same since the injury. What is he doing different? Because his numbers are gross considering what we've seen in his career.
Well, you wondered whether he'd be, I don't want to say exposed, but more exposed once Barry Trotz left. And obviously they have great defensemen there, but they also had a coach that preached a great defensive system when Trotz was in Nashville. More so, though, I think for Pekka is he's not doing anything differently. And yet his game relies so much. He told me that before, that for him to play his game and feel good about his game, he has to be 100%. Because it is such an active athletic game. There is so much extra movement. And there are so many goalie coaches around the league that have looked at it for years and thought, geez, he's so big. Why does he move so much? And the answer was because he could. And he gave teams a different look. He was less predictable because of that aggression. We know how good the hands are. I mean, the glove is where rebounds go to die and still is. That's still a good part of his game. But you know, when you're living on the edge of that much movement, that much extra space to cover off, you know, it's a fine line between being sort of aggressive and athletic and chasing. And he's still a monstrous man. When you move that much, you're going to open up holes. And right now, you know, there's a couple goals in particular of late where, I mean, it's the epitome of chasing the game. I mean, he is behind the whole way. He is trying to catch up as the team moves the puck around him laterally and high and low, and he's never really set. Now, he's not a guy who's relied throughout his career on being set and sitting there and waiting for the play to come to him, but it really is a fine line between getting there just on time and getting there a step behind. And right now, he's a step behind. And so the question and the concern, if you're the Nashville Predators long term, is here's a guy who hasn't been the same since the knee injury. And we see what's happening with Price in Montreal. We saw it with Ryan Miller last year, you know, admitting to me when it took him until midsummer to actually be 100% from his knee injury in February of last year. We're talking 5 months. That's a tough injury for a goaltender. And for a goalie like Pekka, who admittedly relies on feeling 100% to be as active and athletic as he is, that's a big blow. And now you project as he gets older and he's got this big contract and you wonder, can he play this style as the years and the minutes, and they've ridden him hard in Nashville, continue to add on? I think we're starting to see signs that the answer may be no, and that's got to scare you if you're the Nashville Predators. The question is, do you rein him in and try and get him to be a more patient goaltender, a goalie who, for all that those remarkable reactive skills, just sometimes relies on closing holes and letting it hit him because he's big enough to do that?
Yeah.
And if you ask him to play that game with his, you know, with an eye towards making him last longer, do you lose some of the elements that made him so great early in his career? And it's, you know, it's a big adjustment. It's not a snap the fingers, oh, hey, I'm just going to stand here and let the play come at me. It can take years to get used to playing a different style. And yet, I think if you're in the Nashville Predators, you've got to start asking whether that might be something you have to look at in the near future.
Kevin Woodley joins us. Kevin, the Carolina Hurricanes are 2 points out of the playoffs while their team save percentage is under .900. Like, it's remarkable when you consider they don't give up a ton of goals. Do you see them going out and getting a goaltender? And do you think James Reimer, who's a potential UFA, is a guy who might fit there?
You got to wonder, and I'm seeing other people ask that question, you got to wonder if it would be a fit. And you know, other teams too, you know, are there other teams that are looking to get rid of, you know, the teams that are in the luxury of having two guys? The problem with Carolina is, you know, let's face it, they're a budget team. And Cam Ward's taken up a good chunk of it. And obviously no one's interested in taking that back unless you were going to give them assets to eat Cam Ward's salary for the rest of the year and just let him walk as an unrestricted free agent in the summer. But you know, they're not a team that spends money. So it's interesting to be where they are with the goaltending they've had. Tells you that, you know, obviously they could be a lot. I mean, they're probably a playoff team with half-decent goaltending. And it's, you know, the question becomes, basically they'd probably have to, unless somebody's willing to take Ward, they'd probably have to be willing to walk from Lack. And they just signed him to an extension that starts next year. It's worth $5.5 million over 2 years. And what's interesting there is we've already talked about sort of the back and forth that's going on between a goalie and a goalie coach and maybe not being on the same page in terms of style there. If the Canes side with their coach and decide they move on from Lack, there are other teams and other coaches around the league that would look at Eddie's salary over the next 2 years, look beyond the numbers if they understand what's really happened there, and might be willing to make that deal. Because the reason Lack didn't last in Vancouver, one of the reasons they moved him, is he was looking for term and money very similar to what Cam Talbot signed for. And I think, you know, when we talked in the summer, I was as high on Lack as I was on Talbot. So if there's a team out there and Carolina doesn't see Eddie fitting their style of play or what their goaltending coach wants and they're committed to that goaltending coach, then there's a team that could get Eddie Lack 2 years guaranteed at lower money than he was originally looking for, and you wonder if somebody might do a deal like that. If you're, say, for example, the Toronto Maple Leafs and you're going to lose James Reimer for nothing and you could add another young goaltender to the mix at a lower price that you could continue to work with, you do wonder if, you know, those are, I mean, hey, we're into fantasy land here, but clearly goaltending is an issue for the Carolina Hurricanes. That said, I don't judge them exclusively on the 897. Talked with Ward about this when he was in town. It's going to be real tough to post a high save percentage behind that team. I know they're the darlings of the analytic community just in terms of their, you know, their possession numbers and their shot percentages and the amount of time they have the puck based on shot metrics, but they're a really tough team to play behind for a goaltender because they don't give up a lot. And you won't see a shot for 3-4 minutes, and then it'll be an odd man rush. So that's something the Hurricanes have to weigh in as well. They're a tough team to play behind, and would a new goaltender take time too long perhaps to adjust to that style of play? So a lot of questions, but certainly a lot of variables that might sort of make sense to see something move here.
One last one for you. The Anaheim Ducks in a very unique situation. Freddie Anderson and young Gibson, who just signed an extension. So a lot of people point to maybe thinking Gibson's the guy of the future in Anaheim. Which one of those two do you like best and why?
Oh, that's a tough one. See, I'm biased towards Freddie Anderson because I've gotten to know him a little bit over the year. So that's the caveat there. And what I love about the kid is his work ethic. You know, whether it's going to the Anaheim Angels and working with their hitting coach to better understand sort of vision training mechanics, and or changing, you know, he's lost, like, I mean, he was so out of shape when he first came over here, and he's rebuilt his body entirely, to seeking out the head trajectory stuff this summer. I mean, he's got the frame and the mentality and the skill set to be a really good number one goaltender, and he leaves no stone unturned in terms of trying to always get better. So maybe I'm biased because I've had those conversations with him and I see the passion and I see the work. It's not just lip service. He seeks out ways to become a better goaltender, but that's the way I'd lean. And Gibson has all the talent in the world. The structure is loose still. I think it leads to some of the injuries because he puts himself in reach situations and he's got the ability athletically to make those reach saves, but he puts himself in situations at times where he forces himself to be spectacular, and I think that's probably the only reason that Freddie Anderson's still there, to be honest with you, is question marks about, for this season and a team, despite having things go sour so far, that sees this season as important, not wanting to hitch their wagon exclusively to Anderson because they're still not sure what they've got in John Gibson in terms of the ability to stay healthy. I think they believe in him as their future number one goaltender. I think that's where they're going to go. But they don't have a safety net yet behind him, and they're not confident enough that he can stay healthy that they're going to completely put all their eggs in that basket just yet. But I wouldn't be surprised at all. And not only would Freddie Anderson if he was moved this summer, maybe even sooner, but probably more likely this summer.
Kev, great stuff, man. We appreciate it. As we get into February, with a month left in trade deadline, should be a lot of fun, and there could be some goaltending moving around. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Jason. It'll be interesting to see where all those chips start to fall.
You betcha. Kevin.